The journey of caring for a loved one who is living with dementia can be quite challenging. The aim of this podcast is to make caregiving less daunting and more fulfilling. On this platform, we share knowledge, understanding, and experiences. We enlighten, give hope, and encourage, and in the process, create positive awareness about different aspects of dementia. Welcome to my podcast, Dementia Caregivers Corner. My name is Julia Ratladi. Dementia Care, how deep is your love?
Our guest in today's episode is an author of a book called A Son's Journey, From Parkinson's Disease Caregiver to Advocate. He lost his mother, Sharon, on the 1st of January 2020 due to Parkinson's disease. Together with his family, they started a movement called Together for Sharon for the purpose of keeping his mother's memory alive and to share the message of Parkinson's awareness and hope for a cure. Today, Together for Sharon's website reaches thousands of individuals across America for Parkinson's disease awareness. Without further ado, let us welcome into today's episode, Dr. George Ackerman, also known as Sharon's son. We welcome you to Dementia Caregivers Corner, Dr. George.
Thanks. I really appreciate your time and your audience. It means the world to me. And I just want to say one thing. Together for Sharon, I'm proud to say, reaches the world, so globally, not just the U.S., because I didn't realize there were about approximately 1 million people in the United States with Parkinson's. But there's 10 million throughout the world, and I've been really had the honor to interview myself over 600 people from Africa, from UK, from France, Italy, Spain, Iceland, Nova Scotia. I mean, sadly, even Australia, Parkinson's disease does not discriminate. It can affect anybody. And as you are well aware, because your show is so incredible and inspiring, we just really are fighting together for awareness. So again, really appreciate your time. And there's so many sad misconceptions that Parkinson's is an elderly man disease, which is false. Even I interviewed a gentleman who's really a hero of mine in Parkinson's Africa, and he said that they believe it's witchcraft in Africa, Parkinson's, which was very sad. And they actually took his mother from him, put her away, and wouldn't even let him see her. He had to escape. It almost seemed like a movie to see her. And just really, we need more people like you out there too, because this is, we're a family in this fight, and together our voices are so much stronger.
Definitely. But Dr. George, tell me, there are so many people who don't know what Parkinson's disease is. If you were to describe what Parkinson's disease to someone who don't know what it is, how would you describe it? And how would you compare it with any other types of dementias that you may be aware of?
Yeah. So sadly, Parkinson's disease is the fastest growing neurological disease in the world. So again, not just in the U.S., but throughout the world. Basically, individuals like my mother had a tough time moving her left arm. She had it for 15 years, Parkinson, but it didn't get worse until the last 4 years when I became her caregiver. But some of the symptoms are stiffness and rigidity of the bones, external tremors like Mr. Michael J. Fox, the famous actor. Some people have internal tremors. It's also rigidity, bradykinesia, and dyskinesia, and also dystonia, like the curling of the toes. So a lot of the body, imagine us, you can't control your own body. Some people, unfortunately, can't even work anymore. It's a crippling disease. It does take time. It's a slowly progressed disease. I don't understand what happened with my mother. Again, she had it, but didn't affect her whole life for some time. She was able to still live alone, independently, have a life, go out with friends, shopping and things, but we brought her to, we tried everything, and this is no cure as of today. There are many things that we'll get to that can slow the progression, we believe, like exercise and diet, but there's nothing, unfortunately, yet that can stop it forever. But my mother, the last 4 years, we took her to a special university to try to help her, and I think they drastically changed her drugs or medication, and then that night it kind of went down, and then I found out she had late onset dementia. So the difference between Parkinson's and dementia is not everybody who has Parkinson's also has dementia. This is why it's such a hard disease to solve, really, because it's so different. So what happened on my journey and my mother does not mean it'll happen to someone else. It's just one form. With dementia, what's even more scary is the delusions and hallucinations. So my mother at some points didn't really know if people were in the room, like her passed away animal, so her dog or her mother and father, who obviously for decades had passed away. Some days she thought they were actually in the room, and she would giggle sometime laughing that it was funny, but it really wasn't, because it was just a different, it's like you're in another reality. So we were struggling again with all these things. It was almost like that game Whack-A-Mole, where you hit the little the mole and he jumps up. But every time I tried to do something, it was like I was getting whacked on the head because there was another problem. So those are really the main differences between the two. And again, they're both terrible diseases. I hope we can find a cure for both.
Okay. So when she got diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, how did you accommodate her needs as a family?
Yeah, that's a great question. Unfortunately, my mother was very selfless. She didn't like burdening the family and didn't even want to tell us. So for 7-8 years, I heard of the word Parkinson's, but I never really even understood it. I never looked it up, and I didn't really think about it because, again, she was still able to go out to dinner and, you know, live her life. Unfortunately, the last 4 years is when I was thrown into the world of caregiving. I didn't take a course. I don't think you can. I just was literally thrown in. But I always believe that I wouldn't be the man I am today or have accomplished what I have if it wasn't for my mother's sacrifices. She was a school teacher, and she also had a master's degree in psychology, but she gave it all up to raise me and my brother. So I knew when she needed me that I would have to be there and want to be there to help support her in any way that I could.
Wow. That's impressive, Dr. George. You know, you said you jumped in as also a mom's caregiver. Most cases we read about or we see women as caregivers. Did you face any challenges as a male caregiver?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I was shocked when someone recently asked me. I spoke at a big summit. It was virtual, but I was the first speaker 2 weeks ago. And the actual name of it was the first ever annual male caregiver speech symposium. And I was like, I didn't even realize it, but you're right. Everybody, it's shocking to see a male for some reason, but I don't really worry too much about what other people think. My goal, again, is to bring awareness. Unfortunately, too late for me and my mother. But if you read the book or the viewers purchase it, it's a little tougher because the shipping from the UK and, you know, Africa, I imagine the shipping with Amazon is a lot. But if you even just go to Together for Sharing, everything there is free online. You can read the interviews, but, you know, it was just kind of shocking to me that, you know, I know I'm a male, but I was shocked that it was an issue. And I do recall one night with one of the nurses said to me, did you realize that it's nice what you're doing? And I said, why? I don't know what you're talking about. It's my mother. She's my best friend. And the nurse said that most sons or families do have to, unfortunately, put their loved one in a home, and that's the end of it. And I swore to my mother, and she made me swear that we would never put her in a home. And that's not for everyone, because there were days, you know, I felt bad, sad, angry. And I even wanted to go at one point to a home. And it wasn't because of my mother. It was just what the disease turns your loved one into. My mother was the most positive, friendly, nice person. But she even took a light once and threw it against the wall because she was very frustrated that she had Parkinson's. And it was such a heartbreaking experience. But I do want to say there is light and good at the end of the tunnel. Just I meet some incredible people like you and made so many people in the Parkinson's community that have now become family. But back to the male caregiving, my mother, unfortunately, with dementia also had the hallucinations. So she thought any of the aides we had watching over her were harming her, which was very concerning. So I had to install, I'm also a police officer and a lawyer. So I put video cameras throughout the house to watch. But obviously, I never put them in the private spots, like bathroom. I would never do that. It was an invasion of privacy.
Exactly.
So, luckily, I never saw anyone harm her. But I did catch one aide neglect her, where she didn't sleep much because of the medicines were destroying her stomach. So she needed a lot of stomach issues. She didn't sleep. So one night, she called out for help, and they didn't show up, and I fired them. But I don't call them caregivers because they were more like people hired just to make sure she didn't fall. Because I knew if my mother also fell, that would be the end of everything. And thankfully, I can say she didn't fall. I think she might have once, but that was also... But we had a very bad time, though, trying to find people to kind of watch over her. They didn't know what Parkinson's was, even though they were from caregiving, like, named companies. They didn't have a clue. And one even brought my mother. My mother was sick at the end. This lady... And she brought my mother to her house and shopping for herself for Publix. So I'm like, you got to be kidding. This is horrible. So anyways, to being a male, that's definitely detrimental because it's portioned like I couldn't help her in the bathroom. And that was a major place she needed help. But overall, the rest of it really didn't matter. And I'm proud to be a mama's boy. I love my mother. And she, again, is my, she was my best friend. And if she wasn't so incredible, I wouldn't be here. But I just don't want her to be forgotten. And I do feel her life was taken too short. She was only 69, and that's young, and I'm still young. It was, I feel like, in a selfish way, very still angry. I hate Parkinson's disease, and I do this again for free, voluntary. I don't accept anything except that everyone out there knows that we love you and we send our support. And you have someone like me who's going to keep advocating till we find a cure for everybody around the world. Not just, it's not just about the U.S., it's about the world, it's about UK, about Africa, it's about Iceland. It's every, I don't want to hear about people again suffering from this.
Yes. Before I go on to the next question, I want us to go back to what you just said concerning, you're saying you call them aides, the caregivers. Yeah. You said they had no clue what they were doing. What do you think should be done so that they're able to give proper care?
Yeah, as a lawyer, I think they should be trained properly under more laws. You know, I think every state in the U.S., at least, if you're going to have, like, these people open up companies and they put the word caregiver, like comfort care and all this, but they really just, I don't know where they're getting the people. They might have just come from nowhere, but they're not really training them. The amount of money is ridiculous. It was $12,000 a month because we needed 24/7 care. We couldn't find the right person. As you see, and if you read the book, I really go much more. A whole chapter is about how my goal, I have three children. I'm also a professor and I teach around the world, but I'm busy. But my mother was my main priority. But I needed a few minutes a day for your own health and sanity to go back to my life. And I needed in my brain to know if she's safe, you know, my mother with someone. But for months and years, we couldn't have that because she was always either worried, scared. They were terrible. They didn't give them. I mean, that's another thing. If you don't give the medicines at the right amount, the right time, the right day, who knows what's going on? And my mother was too sick to do that. So even to this day, I don't even know if they did that properly. So there was a lot of things going on. And my main thing with the AIDS was, again, just to make sure she was with someone. So if something bad happened, they can call an ambulance and that she was safe from not falling. But I think they need to do a lot more with training. My only hope, again, was that the aide would be a nice person. I don't know how hard that is, but even that was hard. We had one person we had to let go that was yelling at my mother. And I don't know. I don't think it was on purpose. I think it was her culture that they talk loud. But my mother was, you know, scared, unfortunately, because of all the disease. So it was just a conflict of interest a lot of the time. And it was very frustrating also.
You know what, Dr. George, the other reason why I'm doing this dementia care is I just want to train only dementia caregivers, because there is a lot that is needed to be done. A lot. Going forward, you cannot do it on your own, Dr. George. You need support. You need family support. Right. Yeah, let's talk about that. Your family support, your children, there is your partner. How do you get the support from them? And even how do they understand that Sharon is going through Parkinson's disease? Do you sit them down and talk, or how do you do it? How did you do it?
Even to today, unfortunately, it's been 4 years. I'm still grieving. I still miss my mother. And I still, you know, there's a lot of days. She was right next to me in law school graduation, the PhD, you know, graduation, the police academy, like cheering me on. And I don't think I would have like finished it because I wanted to quit many of those things 100 times. And I didn't because of my mother and her help, support. We're actually writing a children's book now because I struggled even today to explain because I have three children. One was, at the time, there were 7, 6, and even 2 or 1. So the little one didn't understand. And sadly, I don't think he might even remember my mother, which is why I do what I do. So he can live through these talks and remember her. My middle one was also kind of young, but the older one was my mother's favorite best friend because my mother had 2 boys and never had a girl. And her dream was to be able to buy dresses and dolls. And I remember the day my wife and I took my mother to dinner and we said, we're having a girl, our first child. And my mother started crying and we all cried. It's like she was so happy. And then she already went right to the store to buy dolls and dresses. Yeah. So But one sadder time was when my mother, again, the dementia was in, kicked in. We were laying in her room. My mother was hugging the pillows and saying how much she loves Brooke, my daughter and her grandchild. Yeah. But in reality, my mother was hugging the pillows and not Brooke. So Brooke looked at me and said, she giggled in a way, but uncomfortable, you know, and I looked back and I didn't know what to say. So it was very frustrating. And even today, I have to explain why their grandmother's not with us. But they see me doing all this and they understand. And they actually came to a Parkinson's Foundation walk a week ago and we all walked in memory of my mother. Tomorrow I'm at an American Parkinson's Disease Association symposium where we have a table and we talk about my mother. And it's amazing because sometimes it's big pharmaceutical companies selling things, but then it's little me in the middle and people are kind of a little scared to come up to me. But then when they realize what I'm there for and what we're doing, they hug us, they kiss us, and then we all cry together. But it's a great moment because everyone I meet inspires me to keep fighting.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other side was my wife. So in the book, too, I have a whole chapter on my wife's support and the children. So they have their own chapters because my wife is incredible even today because she and my mother were also best friends. So what my wife did is my mother was extremely bad the last year, like very sick, lost tremendous weight. My mother went from being very healthy, walking a few miles a week, to the cane for 2 years, then the walker for a year, wheelchair, and then bedbound. And the quickest I've ever seen, I don't even understand medically what happened. But that last year, my wife brought in people like manicures, pedicures, hairstylists. And some days my mother was too sick, but we really just wanted her to bring back her happiness. And she wanted to look good and feel good. And the disease was just destroying her. Like even her fingers and hands were so thin. You know, she lost so much weight because of it that it was almost so fragile. Like I was scared to even help her move. And unfortunately, that's what the disease does. But having that shining light, like my wife helped out. And she also, a lot of days, it was just me and my mother alone talking. And I was comforting her. And my wife couldn't be there because she had to raise the children. But I never went home and had her yelling at me. I never had, you know, she was always supportive of even today. We had a talk even a week ago that I'm doing too much advocacy because, you know, sometimes I want to take a break, but then I sit back and see everyone struggling and it pushes me to want to do more. And even today, I don't think this is just about a talk, you know, and then goodbye. I think this is a continual conversation, which I'll share on my side and throughout the world, but you're helping. And also the only, we even reached just one person today who now will be aware or now learn of my mother and your show, we've changed the world for the better. So thank you for that.
I so much believe in that. Just that one person, just that one person, because we know that's a seed that we're planting. They will be able to share it with another person and it will become just big like that. No, I like that. And I like the idea of having a children's book because we have to have a certain way of talking with them so that they can understand. You cannot just come to them and say, okay, Parkinson's disease. You have to explain it to their own understanding.
What I was shocked is that there was no book. And again, I always say to tell me if I'm wrong. I did a research. I could be wrong. But there isn't a book in the world from the point of a son as an advocate and caregiver who lost their loved one due to Parkinson's ever anywhere. And I'm nothing. So this was really like a kind of groundbreaking because it's the first one. And again, I'm not here to sell it. I'm just here to tell the story because I think it can really help so many people. You know, I get the questions a lot, which is literally the table of contents of my book. You know, as you even started out, what are the first signs? Well, it's answered in the book. Well, what are some of the symptoms and treatments? It's in the book. Well, my primary caregiving chapter again on my wife and my children, how to find good aids, which we talked about.
Yeah.
And there's just so much more. So, and I also kept a journal. I'm not a big like journal guy, but I did the last year of my mother's life. I wrote a journal. I never shared it. And it actually has the time, date, and like a stamp. Like it'll say the heading is and it says how I was feeling throughout the last year every day till unfortunately my mother passed. And you get to like, you're never going to get inside like this intimate, the deep, the, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you'll be able to see, unfortunately, you know, our journey. But the book ends and moves to very positive areas and advocacy and meeting Mr. Michael J. Fox and going to the Unity Walk coming up Central Park. We're going to walk for my mother in New York City. And we've been doing a lot of things. And again, I don't want money. I just want people to know that we love them and we send our support. And it's sad in 2024 that you have to keep, I have to keep saying, we don't want money. Don't send money. Because it's like every, it's always like a thing in the back of your mind, which is normal that, wait, he wants something. But I have to keep saying it. Even if you go to togethervisharon.com, there's a page that says donations. And if you look at six organizations and they're Parkinson's, like real big, or like Michael J. Fox Foundation, and they actually were so nice. They created a link and shows my mother's picture in her memory. But if you donate, it goes to them and it's in memory of my mother, but we have nothing to do with it. So we don't take a penny. So I have to keep reminding people. I even have it on the site. Do not send us money. One time somebody gave me $5. I ran home, donated to the association, and mailed them a bill, a receipt, not a bill, a receipt. I just don't want this to be about money. That's my biggest thing, that we do this to help people.
Yes. I'm laughing at that because last month I was chatting with someone who's an author as well. And she kept saying, I don't want millions out of this book.
Yeah, but she'll take something.
So we have to say to remind people.
I would take millions if someone wants to give it, and I would probably donate most of it back to the, you know, foundations. But, you know, there's someone out there I'd love to, you know, try to donate and, you know, with the team. And we've donated about $15,000-$20,000 of my own family's money in the last 4 years. And again, we don't want anything. We just want a cure.
Yes. But Dr. George, you see, we follow each other on social media. Yes. Yeah. You are always busy. Do you even find time for yourself?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. People think sometimes that it's a corporation or, you know, foundation, but I don't want it to be, because then you do get into the money and the donation. I don't want to go that world yet, maybe in the future, because I do see a need for some things that aren't being addressed, unfortunately, throughout the community. I maybe will get to that in a minute, but I don't rest much. I also work full time and have a family, but like I said, it means a lot to me to that we really need to end this disease. And that's like every time, like I might have told you, I'm having major spine surgery, unfortunately, on May 21st. And the other day, I'm in pain 24/7 with my back. I lay down for a minute. And then after literally a second, I decided I'm going to get right back up and keep advocating, because to me, Parkinson's is worse than anything I can have. And as long as that's still going on and people are still struggling, back pain stinks, but it's not going to end my life, hopefully. But Parkinson's, I saw what it did to my mother. And I always say Parkinson's disease doesn't take a break, so why should I?
Do you think maybe your mom would have lived, or maybe she lived a certain kind of lifestyle that made her get Parkinson's? Are there any factors that, my question is, are there any factors that exacerbate Parkinson's disease?
That's a great question. I get it a lot, but they don't know as of today why someone gets it, but I do believe it's the environment. So my mother had a very healthy life, but her house was nice, but it had, after 20 years, it had mold and termites. So who knows what the people sprayed. So I'm really a big believer, and I'm not a medical doctor or scientist. I am a researcher, but I think it's from the pesticides, even from fruit we eat at the public, you know, like at shopping centers when you buy your fruit and your vegetables. Who knows what they spray on it? Also, the water. There's been cases in the United States of things in the water, like Camp Lejeune is a famous lawsuit, and things like paraquat, which are poisonous. In China, it's banned, but not in the U.S. or probably, I don't know if it is where you are, but there's a lot of chemicals. Even I found out the other day, and I took my sweater right off and threw it on the floor, but they say dry cleaning, a lot of the stuff they spray, the chemicals, can also cause Parkinson's. So, and then others believe it's a diet, so the foods that we eat, if you don't, you know. So there are ways, I guess, to kind of maybe prevent it, they say. But I'm not, I just think she definitely got it due to the environment, because who knows what they were spraying in the house. And like I said, she had no other medical issues at all, ever, in her whole life, until Parkinson's.
Was still young.
Yeah, that's why I do this, because honestly, I'm not going to put it, downgrade it, but if she had been like around 85 and passed, honestly, I don't think I would have done all this. I would have just maybe put a site up and moved on in a way and remembered it. But my mother still, I feel, is robbed of over a decade of her life, and seeing her grandchildren grow up and being there. You know, my book just came out. Obviously, I wouldn't have had a book if it wasn't for my mother's journey. But we're having a little, you know, actually, my sister-in-law is having her baby this summer. My mother would have, like, well, she would have loved the party and the stuff, you know, and even just being there and hearing another baby screaming, even though it's not mine. But it's, you know, unfortunately, because of one thing, is Parkinson's, she's no longer able to.
You are now an advocate for Parkinson's disease. And what challenges do you face? How can they be combated? How can we reduce, or how can you be supported as a Parkinson's disease advocate?
Yeah, these are amazing questions. That's why I enjoy the shows, because I get to meet different people, but the questions are very important. One area I do think about every day, and I actually wrote another book, which is done, but I'm not putting it out right now. I need some time to take a little break, but it's going to be a follow-up to that book. And it's an area that it's really concerning. So I don't have Parkinson's. I'm not diagnosed. I could in the future. Who knows? We don't know. And I'm no longer a caregiver of somebody living with Parkinson's. So there's a third category, that's me, all the millions and millions of people who lost a loved one due to Parkinson's. And my next book is going to be a call to action. It's because I feel that I'm still not thought of a lot of the time in even the Parkinson's community. Because let's face it, a lot of people don't want to talk about the end of life stages. You know, we have a middle, beginning, and end of life. But for some reason, the end of life, that doesn't exist till it's too late. And that's got to change, because we need to prepare. We need to have things in place, like a will, an attorney, a power of attorney, end of life decisions. I mean, instead, people, unfortunately, wait till you're in the moment. Everyone has a holy war and families never speak again over it. So we could actually combat that. But one example, there was this, and I won't say names, but there was this amazing organization. And I got an email. It's like an invitation. You want to be on this board, you know, like a board. And I said, that would be amazing to myself. And I just figured, you know what, I'll apply, I'll fill it out, and if I don't get it, who cares? At least they know I'm alive and I'm fighting and I'm an advocate. Well, I wrote this beautiful 3-page paper, which it will be in the book, and it has references like a professor, and I spent a lot of time, 3 hours, 3 pages. So I spent to submit it, and there were 2 buttons, which there was, one was you're diagnosed with Parkinson's, section button 2 is you're a caregiver for someone literally with the word alive. Well, I have to tell you, my heart sunk, and I felt like my mother died a second time when I realized there's no place for me at the table. And that's what the book is going to be called, A Place at the Table, because unfortunately we lost my mother, so there's a seat missing at the table because of Parkinson, and I still feel I'm not part of the conversation. So thankfully, I'm not the kind of person to just go away. I keep fighting, and we've started a movement, like you said, TogetherForSharon.com. It's had over 40,000 people visit. I have interviewed 600 people around the world. We even started our own podcast interviewing the Parkinson's community and all the other podcasts. I've done over hundreds of shows like with you, and that's on the website. So I want to teach everyone, or at least say in a little message, don't ever let anybody say no to you if you have a belief or anything. It doesn't matter if it's advocacy, but you have a voice and your voice matters, and you have to speak up. If you don't, then guess what? No one will ever be aware. We'll never move forward, and we'll just, you know, kind of be missing. And my goal is, we just started a new section. It's called In Memory, and I'm going to weave in stories of. So in this book was dedicated to my mother's memory, but to everyone diagnosed and caregivers today. The next book is literally going to be a memory of all the millions of people we've lost due to Parkinson's and their caregivers who still live today and want their family member to be remembered. So that's a new section we have on the site. It's a little bit more difficult. When I did the other interviews, the 600, I had a lot more, you know, people. But now I'm in a specific segment where either a person sadly is no longer with us or their caregivers, even though we have like 20 million people probably, they all kind of went away because they went back to their lives and they felt that there's nothing left for them, you know, but that's not true. Imagine if we had all these 20 million or who knows, even more helping us today and had a seat at the table, we would have already ended the disease, in my opinion.
You mentioned we are afraid of talking about end of life. What's the consequences for that?
I believe the biggest consequence is, again, when you are in that moment, you're going to have, instead of just worrying and concentrating on your loved one, you're going to now have family fighting with each other. You're going to have people wanting to get the house, the car, like really sadly stupid, sorry for the French, but bad moves and decisions in the heat of the moment. You know, it's almost like I'm in law. I'm a police officer, reserve, an attorney. I worked as an intern in the prosecutor's office, worked in criminal defense. You know, there's times where people do things and they're just not of sane mind. And that's what the thing is. If you plan ahead and you're prepared, you can do things quietly, take your time methodically. But if you don't have anything planned, like a will and all, and like, what if your loved one is choking and you don't know if you're supposed to resuscitate? I mean, the medical emergency managers need to know too. So there's just a lot of consequences, and your own health will be destroyed even more. You know, they say you're supposed to take care of yourself first. I didn't do it then, and I probably don't do it today as an advocate, but that's my choice. Some days I feel like a truck drove over me, but I still want to keep doing it because I feel, like I said, if we even get one person, then we've done change the world. So I have to keep doing it for me. Now, other people I recommend not to do that. To definitely, you have to be able to manage it. I'm a good manager of time and time management, and I don't procrastinate. You know, even when we talk, if something pops up like a cartoon or an idea, I'll write it down. I'll actually implement. The other day, I actually had a good idea, and I actually already working on it for the summer. I'm going to have a section for books, and I'm going to put for free anyone who's ever written a book on dementia or Parkinson's, including if you ever have a book, I'm going to put the link. Their information and a picture of the book for free, just because it's a resource. And I want people to learn about these books. And unfortunately, even I'm seeing with my book, it hasn't been easy because Parkinson doesn't reach the world, which I wish it would, because then we would end it. I am such a small segment of, you know, a million people, 10 million around the world is not a lot of people, even though if it affects you, it's heartbreaking. So I see even some big publishers don't want to help me and things. So I publish it my own, which was not easy. So I don't expect to sell a lot of it. I'd love to see it though in schools and colleges and in medical schools, because this could help really change the world. But the only way that'll happen is if everyone listening, not doesn't have to buy it, but shares it and talks about it. And the website is really the best because it's free and anyone around the world can access it for free. And you can read the interviews for free and everything. I don't want to sound like Oprah, where I'm going to say everything's free for you. Free. She was giving a car away. I can't do a car.
Take the car.
Everyone gets a car.
Yes. Okay. I'm still coming back to you, Dr. George. You need rest as well. You can't be working, because if you continue working nonstop, we're going to lose you. And who's going to share the message?
Well, part of me hopes. End this disease and we won't need to have me out there as much. You know, I thought a lot about it. Do I want my children, even because my daughter is very well aware of what's happening with Together for Sharon, because she's really amazing. She's actually done speeches. She's only 11. She gave a speech on one of my videos, which was really cute. But, you know, she misses her grandmother too every day. But I think sometimes to myself, do I want her to continue it on? And the answer is no, because I hope in 10, 20 years, we don't have Parkinson's disease at all anymore.
All right. So if I were to get hold of your book, I want you to talk to our listeners, both our listeners, those who are going to get hold of your book. How is it going to help them as a resource guide?
For the actually, it's out of the country, since the shipping's a lot, it's actually available in Kindle and an ebook. So it's much cheaper. It's like $10, I believe. But I think it'll help people because it, again, takes you inside. If you're ever curious about Parkinson's disease, what it is about it, the symptoms, it also flips the side. It's almost like two sides, because it's my mother who is a person with Parkinson's. Plus, it also is the caregiver, which is a whole world of other people. It also helps with grieving, because I'm still grieving. Speaking to you today actually helps me, because the more I can talk, you know, the more it personally helps me. So thank you for that. But there's also a lot in it that's positive. So we don't often get to the positive stuff, but I have a chapter from actually the words of my mother's friends and family. They actually each wrote a paragraph talking about my mother and about Parkinson's and how, they were shocked when they found out. It also talks about my mission forward and advocacy and how grateful I am to so many. It's literally the name of a chapter. And I name many, many resources, and there's a references and appendix, which so many websites which people can visit to help support them. and to make sure they know they're never alone. And also togetherforsharon.com is where you go if you want to order a copy. It's all on Amazon now and another area, I think, Ingram Spark it's called. But it's incredible, you know, just to be able to have it out there. And like I said, if it doesn't do as well as I would like, I'll only be sad because I think we need, you know, more awareness. I had the honor of interviewing a United States senator last week. I sent him a copy, but that's pretty incredible that it would reach, you know, a U.S. senator, because there's not that many senators in the world in the United States. So he actually took the time and came on my show, which was an honor. You know, I'm interviewing a lot of people for awareness and just slowly, you know, growing and growing and growing. But so is the disease. And that's the part that kills me inside. So,
yes. You know, it's like in your past life, you were an aggressive marketer, as a salesperson in your
mother. I've always advocated for people. Before I was a caregiver, I actually, my dream was to help family members of homicide victims, because in the United States, a lot of the time, unfortunately, victims are no longer with us, but also the family members become victims. And I always believed in fighting for their voice, because sometimes they don't have a voice. And that was what I was passionate about. And that's why I've accomplished, you know, a lot. And I kind of think of that population. And I actually worked with African-American mothers who lost their loved one due to murder, West Palm Beach, Florida.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they feel that they're left out. Well, I kind of think of that similar to Parkinson's, because guess what? A lot of the community is completely left out. You know, there's a lot of notoriety, unfortunately, for other diseases because more people have it, like Alzheimer's. But for some reason, Parkinson's has been left out of the discussion, and it's changing now. In the United States, the first bill in history, like literally, we're sitting here talking in history, called the National Plan to End Parkinson's, passed through the United States House of Representatives, and now it's shifting to the Senate. So either this year, I hope, or next, it'll pass. Then the president signs it into law. And that'll change the world for everybody in the Parkinson's community. Again, unfortunately, too late for us and the people who lost the loved ones, but it's not for those still fighting or the future who will be diagnosed. And then the other thing in my dream is that I hope other countries like Africa, the UK, Canada, I hope they take this bill when it passes and use it as a boilerplate, or literally use the same exact thing and pass it in their country. So This journey is not going to end anytime soon. Even if we pass the bill, we still haven't cured the disease yet, and we still have a lot more work. And guess what? If there's a cure here, it'll spread around the world and save everyone. And that's what their goal is.
That's a lovely initiative. I'm excited about that. But as long as we are here, we will continue to spread the message. Thanks. I think you were kind of summing up. I like that kind of summary. But at the end, I want you to, if there's anything, any questions that we think our listeners would want to hear that I didn't ask you.
I think you're incredible, and I really appreciate your time and your audience. I do have one thing I usually say at the end. This is a message to you and everybody out there. We love you. We support you. We care a lot about you, and you're never alone. I, alongside with the amazing host today, will advocate for you. And together, I believe our voices are so much stronger. And I always say also, I'm just getting started. Because obviously, I'm not just getting started. It's been, sadly, a four-year journey. But every time I meet somebody like you who inspires me, everyone I hear, someone in the audience email me saying that they're struggling or their loved one from Parkinson, they kind of imagine, like, if I'm a deflating balloon, it blows me right back up. And I'm ready to soar like a superhero and keep fighting, because I don't think we have the time. I mean, this is so urgent. People, as we speak, are suffering, and I don't want to hear that. I don't want them to suffer, and I want a cure to end this disease. And I just send my love, support, and thanks. I'm so grateful for the time with you today, and I hope in the future we'll continue this, because even if the bill passes and it's shared around the world, we need to make sure it's implemented right. So that's even another whole world of interesting things to come. So stay tuned.
Dementia Care, how deep is your love?